Hello and welcome to Eerie Earth, the podcast where I take you on a journey through the paranormal. Together we will learn about the dark tales, ghostly hauntings, and much more. So sit back, relax, and join me as we explore this Eerie Earth. This episode of Eerie Earth is brought to you in partnership with Eerie Earth Tours. At Eerie Earth, we are now able to cover your tours of Scotland's capital, Edinburgh. Whether it's a tour of Edinburgh's vast history of the Old Town, or a trip down the winding closes and streets, hearing tales of ghosts, murders, and body snatching, then we can accommodate. To book, simply go over to eerieearth.com for more information, or email us at tours@eerieearth.com to discuss availability. Now, on with the episode. If you've been following Eerie Earth since its conception, then you will know that I love the paranormal and everything that goes with it, and have done since a very young age. But it was an event in 2002 that spurred my interest and love for all things ghostly. This story is called The Haunting of Hazeldene, and it's an account of my first ever paranormal occurrence. Enjoy. It was around 2002 when the events took place, and to some it may sound completely unbelievable, but when I think of the event, and I remember the series of events leading up to it, then I tend to agree with you. But this genuinely happened, and it is what sparked my interest in the paranormal and gave me the passion that I have today for the subject. Let me start off with a little bit of background. I'm originally from Aberdeen, a city in the northeast reaches of the wild and wondrous country of Scotland. Growing up, I was not an academic person at all. I was more creative and really struggled in school with subjects, bullies, and social circles. But I had a best friend with whom I grew up with, a friend that spent every single day with. We were basically brothers and we acted like it, always bickering, always joking around, but we were incredibly close. On the day in question, we had decided to skip class in the afternoon. Naughty, I know, but it was sports, and anyone who knows me knows I do not play sports. So that would have been a day like Wednesday, and we were always given the whole afternoon for sports. It at least made the day feel shorter, just having morning classes, I guess. We had decided at lunchtime to go to my friend's house. His name was Christian, but I called him Chris, among other less polite names. He had a similar names for me, of course. He lived in a very large house in the West End area of the city. His father was the co-founder of an oil company, and in the 90s and early noughties, that meant you had a lot of money. Now the oil situation in Aberdeen is nowhere near what it used to be. His house used to be an old folks' home, a four-story, six-bedroom, four-bathroom mansion, I suppose you could call it. I never saw it as that, though. Nor did I ever see his family as being millionaires, which they were. I just saw him as Christian, my dorky best friend, and his mum, dad, and two brothers. Anyway, we went to his house for lunch and relished in the fact that his house was empty. Unfortunately, his grandfather had passed away only recently, so it was still raw for the family. His mum and dad had ventured down to England for the week to help sort things out. So there was no one in the house, no one to catch us skipping school. We had brought some frozen pizza from the local corner shop and we were getting excited for an afternoon of eating pizza, drinking fizzy pop and a Mario Kart marathon. We entered through the front door and just to be sure, he yelled, "Hello!" but got no response. Perfect, an empty house. We went into the kitchen, turned on the oven to the desired temperature and waited for the oven to heat up. It always took a long time. It was something his mum had always commented on. Despite the fact they had money, they had an oven that was incredibly slow. While it was heating up, Chris wanted to take his pet rat, Dr. Dre, out of his cage, stretch his little legs. He was a big rap fan, Chris, not the rat. So we went up to his bedroom, up in the converted attic. It was essentially a flat. It had two bedrooms, an office, a kitchen, and a bathroom. I was always very jealous of this space. We took the rat down to the smallest bathroom in the house, which was still a reasonable size, and let the brown and white rat run around the floor. I was apprehensive of the rat, as I'd never really held one nor seen one before. So I stood back and let Chris do all the holding and playing. I was standing next to the door with my back against the wall and my hands in my pockets. Next to me was the pull string for the light in the bathroom. This room was between two bedrooms, so had no windows, so when the light went off, it got very dark in there. When he was finished letting the rat have free roam in the bathroom, he put Dr. Dre back in his cage and brought the Hoover in from the corridor and started hoovering up the sawdust. We didn't want the evidence of our truancy to be left behind. He flicked the switch on and the recognisable sound of the vacuum filled the room. Suddenly, the room was plunged into darkness. The sound of the click from the pull string barely audible over the hoover. Christian yelled at me as he was hoovering to turn the light back on, but I hadn't touched it. I obliged, giving in to the thought that I must have turned the light off with my shoulder. I decided I was being more of a hindrance than a help, so I stood outside of the bathroom in the hallway, watching as he finished clearing the mess. Suddenly the light went out again, with a loud click. He turned to me, ready to shout colourful profanities my way, when he realised I was standing at the top of the stairs, a good 12 feet away from the light. Christian stood, glued to the spot, hose of the hoover in his hand. It was still making the unmistakable mechanical scream as if someone had just trodden on its bare toes. His eyes were wide. His jaw was slack. Then he threw down the hose and bolted from the room. I imagined a cloud shape of him still in the door as he barged past me, nearly knocking me over. Leapt down the stairs. If I followed in hot pursuit, hating the fact that I was at the back, bursting into the kitchen, the door clattering against the wall, leaving an indent in the plaster, a small trickling of plaster falling to the ground. We collapsed against the countertops and started laughing a very nervous, maniacal laugh. The dulcet tones of our laughter subsided, as the sound of the hoover could still be heard dully above us, the ceiling almost vibrating. We started to calm ourselves down, grabbing a drink of fizzy pop and putting the pizza in the oven. We discussed what happened and tried to come up with an explanation, but we couldn't quite reach one. Then, as we were talking, we noticed something. Something was different. The house was quiet. The hoover had turned off. We were certain that we had left it going. It was not our imagination. We took the pizza out of the oven and decided to go and investigate. Slowly, we crept up the stairs, our footsteps muffled in the fluffy stair runner. We reached the top of the stairs and the hoover was still where we left it, but it wasn't running. We concluded that we must have imagined it. We must have turned the hoover off and the sound of it was just playing in our minds. That was the only explanation. We shrugged it off and Christian finished off hoovering the bathroom. When the same thing happened, the light clicked on and off and we bolted. This time we were certain we had left the hoover on as we could definitely hear it running. We got to the bottom of the stairs and stopped. We couldn't keep running, I suggested. We had to investigate it. We had to find out why this was happening. But first, we had to eat our pizza. The food was good, as good as a frozen pizza from a newsagent can be, but it was certainly filled a hole. The whole time we devoured our food, we could hear that the hoover was running. Then, again like last time, it suddenly stopped. Only this time, we heard it stop. We decided to go and investigate one last time. But this time, Christian decided to take a large bladed kitchen knife with us. I said something along the lines of, "What the hell is a knife going to do against a ghost?" He replied with a shrug of the shoulders and said, "It might not be a ghost." At this, I grabbed a knife too. Slowly we crept up the stairs with our weapons in vice-like grip in our hands, like untalented extras in a low-budget horror movie. We reached the half-landing of the stairs and the air was pregnant with anticipation, about to give birth to something horrendous. A large lump had managed to form and get lodged in my throat as we continued up the stairs. The silence of the house was palpable, and we could hear every single creak. And if we'd listened hard enough, probably the sound of sweat beating and rolling down our backs. Then we discovered why it was silent. The hoover, which mere minutes ago was singing its siren song, luring us to our figurative demise, had been unplugged from the wall. The plug sitting neatly next to the hoover. The wire, which had been wrapped up and neatly placed on top of the cylindrical bodice of the hoover. That's impossible, I thought. There's no way that could possibly happen on its own. Now, with a newly hatched resilience, as if a facehugger from the alien movies had exploded from its egg, latched onto us and infected us with confidence, we started shouting around the house for his brother, whom we thought had maybe come back from school and was messing with us, knowing that we were skiving from class. No response. We checked every single room of that house, but we got no response. And every room lay empty and still, save from the small dust particles dancing in the sunlight. Our nerves erupted like a volcano, spewing fear everywhere, feeling exactly as we were when this whole nightmare began. We ventured back into the hallway, giving the Hoover a very wide berth, and we started down the stairs. But when we got to the half landing, from the corridor, which is now at head height, we heard the sounds of footsteps charging towards us, muffled on the carpet, but definite and loud. We threw the knives on the ground and bolted downstairs, taking two at a time, crumbling on the ground at the bottom in a tangled heap of arms and legs. We fought with each other to see who would be victorious and be the first to our feet. He won. We scrambled along the corridor, bursting through the kitchen door, and bolted out into the garden, throwing ourselves down the concrete steps and ran to the furthest reaches of the dry, yellowing grass. With a yellowing sea of grass as our protector, we composed ourselves. Hysterical laughter crept out of our mouths like worms emerging from the ground. We looked back at the house. Our laughter stopped instantly. And if ice had engulfed our feet, we were planted to the spot. In the kitchen window, his mum had a bunch of lilies she had received from friends for the loss of her father-in-law, but behind the flowers, I could see an old woman. Her hair was pure white and crazy like Albert Einstein. She wore a baby blue nightie, seemed to be tending the flowers, which were moving as she touched them. We couldn't see any features on her pale face. Without stealing my vision away, I asked Christian if he could see what I could see. A very numb nod confirmed my suspicions. We quickly bolted through the back door of the garden and charged along the lane at the back of the house, leaving the horrors within. Christian returned home later that day, and when he knew his brother would be home, and told me later that the atmosphere in the house had totally changed. It was peaceful and normal. Almost as if whoever or whatever it was toying with us, got the desired effect, and got us to regret skipping class. It took me a few weeks before I could pluck up the courage to return to his home. A few weeks passed, and all conversations of the incident had stopped, and we'd put the event to the back of our minds. I went over to his house for a catch-up. On this night, there was another guy there. His name was Craig. I wasn't a massive fan of him, but Christian got on with him, which was important to me as it meant he was expanding his social circle. We were sitting on a large leather sofa in his living room, watching music videos on MTV. That shows my age. I remember when MTV actually played music videos. A few weeks prior, the family had sadly lost their family dog, an old English sheepdog. It was important to me to look after him and make sure he took his mind off things. While we were sitting, listening to music and talking, Craig turned to us and said, "Christian, do you have a dog?" Instantly, I could see his eyes welling up. He took a deep breath and replied, "No, she died a few weeks ago. Why?" I could feel his pain cut through me like a knife. "I've just seen a dog run up the stairs." Christian and I shared a glance, and thoughts of the event shot into my mind, and I could tell it did the same for him. It would appear it wasn't over. I asked him what kind of dog he saw. "I don't know, it was big and fluffy." I quickly turned to Christian. His ice-cold shiver bolted down my spine, and I could see by his body language it had happened to him too. We tried our best to be as nonchalant as possible, but we failed, allowing the fear to be ever apparent. We started to not talk about the event and just let it slip into the dark, dust-covered, spider-ridden recesses of our mind. But I couldn't resist poking at it every now and again, allowing the memories to infect my mind, as if I was poking an infected boil, allowing the pus to ooze out. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Eerie Earth. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to know more about Eerie Earth or Eerie Earth Tours, then please visit eerieearth.com. Follow me on Instagram and YouTube. And if you would like to support Eerie Earth, you can head over to patreon.com/eerieearth and donate £3 a month, and then you will get a call out on every episode of Eerie Earth and any future audio drama. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you again. Bye-bye for now.